A seminary prof told a story on his father. Sometimes it's dangerous to tell stories on your father if he's listening. But he told a story of his dad who was crossing a frozen river. He was unsure of how frozen it was. And so as he approached this frozen river, he needed to get to the other side. The closest bridge was miles and miles away. And so he didn't want to make the journey. And so he kind of crept out a little bit and he found that it was firm. At least he thought it was firm, although in his imagination he heard some cracks, and so he kind of got down on all fours and started to crawl forward. And then literally as he got out into more of the middle section, he was on his face, his hands out, just kind of crawling forward. You can imagine this, and all of a sudden behind him he heard this loud racket, and he looked behind again so carefully, and here was this huge wagon drawn by huge horses, and it just ripped out onto the ice and went straight across. And he said to his son later, who then became a seminary prof, that must have been someone who knew he could trust the ice. And you can imagine as that wagon went by and he was lying there kind of inching his way across, what he did once the wagon was passed. What do you think he did? Well, he got up and he walked comfortably, maybe in the path of the wagon, but in full confidence that the ice would hold him, because he knew that it would now. He had seen it tested and proved true. In North America, many Christians who claim they trust God are living their lives crawling on the ice, unsure if it will hold them. Some inching backwards towards the shore that they left, others struggling and maybe finding their own way, but so many missing out on the confidence they could have in God and His Word. In our summer months, in the summer heat, we have decided to study the book of Proverbs, a book that is full of incredible wealth, more wealth than we could ever find in a birthday cake that was shaped for that, wealth that will change how we live. And this morning, if you have your Bibles with you, and I hope that you do, if you could open them with me to Proverbs chapter 3, we discover in Proverbs 3 one of the most profound passages in the entire Bible. In fact, as those who study the Bible in its entirety, many would say this is the most important passage in the Old Testament, or very close to it. Some say the second. That's where I would lean. I would say Deuteronomy 6, maybe the most important. This passage in Proverbs chapter 3, maybe the second most important. R.C. Sproul says this is the foundation for how you live your life. This is living in the presence of God, trusting Him for His glory. This proverb can change your life if you're willing to listen to it. In fact, in the shepherding that I get to do each week, I would say if we as God's people would take this to heart, if we as God's people would make this the absolute priority of our lives, we would discover radical change very quickly. If we made as the priority of our lives this willingness to follow what this proverb teaches in its context, but then specifically in verses 5 and 6, we would discover radical change in our own lives and in our communities, and then the influence of our lives that would spread out. And so I perceive this Sunday to be extremely important in our pursuit of God's glory together as His people here. If this is the priority of your life, if you make choices, and really what we're going to discover in this section of the book of Proverbs, what we're going to discover is a number of choices that we are called to make. If we are willing to make these choices, then with God's strength, we'll be able to live for Him in new and fresh ways. I want to read with you this passage, and then we'll slow down in verses 5 and 6 in context. Remember, Proverbs 1 to 9 need to be in the context of the passage that they're given, and Proverbs 10 to 31 in the context of the rest of the book of Proverbs. That's how Proverbs is set up. And so the context of these two verses that we're going to look at, very important. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with the wealth, with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father the son in whom he delights. Oh, there's so much here. Literally, we could take a look at each verse and rejoice in the profoundness of what it is teaching. In the first three verses, this call to say, don't forget what the Bible says. Don't let it out of your sight. Get it in your heart so that your heart responds and obeys. Steadfast love and faithfulness are two of the favorite qualities of the character of God and what He expects of His people. Take these and make them a part of your life. And then your life will be different. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. In other words, have reminders. Don't let God's word out of your sight, because if you let it out of your sight, you will choose your own understanding or the understanding of your culture. Don't forget what God teaches. And then verses 5 to 7. So let's skip ahead. And again, we just want it in its context. The context of God's word being central, and the other side of honoring God in every area of your life. Specifically, it talks about with your wealth. Make sure you choose to use your money in a way that glorifies God. Jesus takes this as a major theme in the New Testament. He says you cannot serve both God and money. So we're to honor God with our wealth. Then He will respond and bless us. And we're to be aware that God disciplines those He loves. Hebrews picks this up. Paul in the book of Hebrews, and he says, God disciplines those He loves. He shapes those He loves so that we will respond and obey Him in every area of our lives. We're to fear Him and obey what He teaches. And then our lives will be different. The choices we make will be different. And in verses 5 and 6, he gives us two choices and one consequence of those choices. Now here's how God works. He is the sovereign ruler over all. He is great and mighty, and He calls for His people to respond and make decisions. And so this morning, if you believe in the greatness of God, you must also biblically believe in the responsibility you have to make choices. And in this text, there are two key choices that if you make as a foundation of your life, then everything else, as you build up on that foundation, will be radically altered. You'll be God-centered and God-glorifying in how you live. And so we want to look at these two choices, and then we want to look at the confidence of those choices in which we can now then rest upon God in, and then we'll seek to apply that to our lives. And oh, that we would hear this, and oh, that we would respond and remember where this is found, and then find ways to remind ourselves of how to live this kind of life. The first choice, trust with all, is how I have outlined it. Trust with all. Really, we see this so clearly in the first part of verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. We just go full stop. There's this choice we're to make in terms of a comparison. Trust in the Lord, not your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. Make that choice, not the choice to trust in how you feel or how you think or what you desire that is best. So here's the choice we're faced with every day, multiple times. Will I choose to trust God and what He says in His Word as right and good, or will I choose to trust myself and do what I want to do, will I choose to trust in the Lord with all my heart, or will I choose my feelings, my thoughts? And I would say the primary problem with the North American church is that we spend so much time leaning on our own understanding and so little time trusting in the Lord that we end up clueless as to what His will is and what He desires. This is a wake-up call to us as God's people at Cloverdale Baptist Church. We can really break this choice into three segments, each very clear. Trust in the Lord. This tells us what and who. Trust. That's the what in the Lord, that's the who, the personal God of the Bible. This means to have a full confidence that God's ways are best, and then a desire to know what these ways are and to choose them. So you see that you know God's ways are best, you understand that, you believe that, even when it's in conflict with the culture around you, or even what you think in yourself. And you say, because I know God is sovereign, because I know God is good, because I've trusted in Him with the gospel message that He's given me, now I read His word, and as I understand His word, I trust not only that He wants that for me, but listen carefully, I also trust that it's best. And so when I choose to obey, I'm choosing life that's abundant, as Jesus would say. John 10:10 is so powerful. When we trust in our own understanding, we're trusting the thief that comes to kill and destroy. But Jesus came that we might have life to the full. That's what's going on here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Understand not only from, again, foundationally, the gospel message, that God is holy and that I am not, and I, because of my not being holy, deserve to be damned and spend eternity in hell. But God, who is rich in love and mercy, sent Jesus, and Jesus lived a perfect life, then shed His blood on the cross, died in my place. I respond in faith. I trust in Him as my personal Lord and my Savior, my Messiah, my Master, and He forgives me and frees me to live for Him and His glory. It's not only that, it's then the life that comes from that. And so I come to the Word of God and I say, I will trust in the Lord, in what He has revealed. I'll trust in Him. His ways are best and right. And this is not easy. I was trying to think of some practical illustrations. How many of you saw the movie Courageous? It was an excellent movie. If you haven't seen it, I was really encouraged as I watched it. And in this movie, there's a guy named Javier who is forced to make a decision. He's supporting his family. He hasn't been able to do that. He's finally got a good job. He's in a string factory. And he's offered a promotion if he'll just lie for the boss. It's a small lie. It's not a big lie. It's tiny, in fact. And so he's challenged to make this lie. And he goes home and he prays about it and he thinks about it and he cries with his wife over it, because making the choice to have integrity, making the choice to trust in God, probably means the loss of his job and inability to support his family. And so he goes home and prays and he trusts in the Lord with all his heart and he makes the choice of integrity and God looks after him. Listen, there are so many things that we're being challenged as a Christian culture to trust in our own understanding. Trust in your own understanding on homosexuality. I mean, if two people love each other, shouldn't that be okay? What harm does it do to you or society? And we say, we don't understand all of that trusting in our own understanding, but we see what the Word of God says in Romans 1 and 1 Corinthians 6, and we need to love these people enough to say, that sin that falls short of the glory of God, repent. Or sex outside of marriage. Well, as long as you love each other, as long as you're committed to one another, and I'm leaning on my own understanding, it's probably okay. I mean, you don't understand how lonely I am. What does the Bible teach? The Bible teaches you'll be even more lonely if you go to the pathway of despair. It teaches that God has given us a wonderful gift for marriage. When I was younger, I would often hear, well, you can look at the menu, but you just can't eat, talking about your ability to look inappropriately at the opposite sex. And what does the Bible teach? So we need to constantly go back from our own understanding. I mean, what's the big deal? And the big deal is we go to the Word of God and we trust in the God of the Word and we say, this is who I will obey. My understanding, I don't get it sometimes. The culture's understanding around us, I don't get it sometimes. I mean, I feel these things and I'm thinking these things, but the Bible is so clear. I mean, you want to see some that invade maybe our church? Gossip or slander. You put someone else down and they're not there, or you share something that was shared with you in confidence with someone else, and maybe you even share it as a prayer request. Did you know that Pastor Rob is struggling with? Or throw whatever you want in there. And the damage that causes, again, biblically so strong. I've heard people say, well, I need a place to share. It's my pain that's overflowing. But we go back to the Word of God. I mean, if you've been reading Proverbs with us, so much on guarding our tongues. We could go on and on in this. Here's the point. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the personal God of the Bible. The word here, do not lean on your own understanding. Literally, don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in the way you think. Have your mind radically transformed. I mean, this sounds a lot like Romans 12, 1 to 2. Therefore, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to Him. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Do not conform any longer to the way the world thinks, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. How God thinks. I trust God. His word is right all of the time. God's ways are best in every situation. And we need to love people enough to share that with Him. I mean, you see this all over the Bible. In fact, in the Old Testament, you read the prophets. The whole point of the prophets is God's people come back to God, come back to God. And Jeremiah 2, 12 and 13 just kind of sums it up. Be aghast, be horrified, O heavens. Why? Because my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water. They have stopped trusting in me, and they have dug for themselves cisterns that don't hold water. They're dry and empty. Now here's the picture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Go to Him for satisfaction. Don't dig a well on your own thinking somehow that will satisfy you. It will fail. I think so often in our Christian culture, we get the idea that we're moving in the right direction without checking with God, without saturating ourselves in His Word. And oh, that we would do that more and more. I know you've heard this before, but you hear this sound come over the airplane that you're on. I've got good news and bad news. The good news is we got a tailwind and we're making the best time I've ever made as a pilot. The bad news is I have no idea where we are or where we're going. That's when you lean on your own understanding. Brothers and sisters, this text is so clear. Here's the first choice that we have to make. And I would say this is a daily, sometimes even minute by minute choice as we feel things and think things and they come in conflict with what the Word of God teaches. Here's what we must do. We must choose today to trust in the Lord. To not lean on our own understanding. To say, I will reject how I feel when it's in conflict with the Word. I will reject how I think when it's in conflict with the Word. And I will trust in the Lord. With all my heart, with all that I am, with the whole inner being that I have, and reject my own way of thinking. There's choice number one, trust in all. You hear Him, you submit to Him, you respond to Him in obedience. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Here's choice number two, choice number one, and again, we need to make this repeatedly. I would say daily and repeatedly because we're so threatened by our own way of thinking and by the culture around us. Choice number two, I've just entitled it, acknowledge in all. Acknowledge in all. Again, in its context, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, be aware of Him. In all your ways, notice Him. Derek Kidner says it's being aware of His presence. And he even says it's stronger. This Hebrew word could be translated, be in fellowship with Him. In all your ways, everywhere you are, everywhere you go, be aware of the presence of the King. That's why we can say, do nothing out of selfish ambition, but in humility serve one another. That nothing is an absolute word. Why? Because we're being like Jesus as we're with Jesus. Or 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all for the glory of God. Or Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, in His presence, living coram Deo, before the face of God. Here's where R.C. Sproul takes this, and he says, this really is the big idea of the Christian life. The big idea of the Christian life is you are aware of the presence of God all the time with you, and that awareness, and verse 7 defines this as fearing Him, that awareness of His holiness, that awareness of His grace, that awareness of His love, then shapes how you live. You're not only choosing to trust in Him, now you're saying, well, I will acknowledge Him in all. The Christianity Today article that Jerry Bridges brought my attention to some years ago of a pastor who was traveling, and he was going to a pastor's conference, and he was tempted to go to a place he shouldn't go. It was a place where there's things happening that were dishonoring to God, and he managed to fight off his temptation. He managed to fight off his temptation, and then he gave in with the excuse that he needed to know some of the sin that his parishioner struggled with. And that open door led to open sin and grossness that invaded his life. And he writes how that one mistake was so horrific. And Jerry Bridges then asks in one of his books, if his wife had been there, would he have done that? What's the answer? Of course not. If one of his elders had been traveling with him, or one of his associate pastors, would he have done that? What's the answer? No, well, here's even more substantially horrifying. God was with him. God is with us all of the time. In all your ways, have fellowship with Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. We see this lived out in the lives of Old Testament saints. Joseph. Joseph, who's had such a hard life. Joseph, who, of anyone in the Bible, at least early on in the years where he was forgotten by everyone, he's in the house of his master, and his master's wife notices that he's good looking and moves in on him and tries to have an affair with him. And do you remember Joseph's response? Well, he flees. But do you remember what he says? Genesis 39. How could I sin against what? How could I sin against the Lord? How could I sin against God? I'm living my life in the presence of God. Do you acknowledge Him in all your ways? David. David made a huge mistake, bigger than a mistake, a huge sin. He sees a beautiful woman. He inappropriately approaches her and she becomes pregnant. He murders Uriah. And then Nathan, the prophet, comes to him and confronts him. And David says something fascinating in his repentance speech. So he repents, he responds, he turns back to God, and he says these words. And again, these are shocking words. If you haven't heard them before, I want you to be shocked by them. If you've heard them before, I want you to be shocked by them as well. Who did David sin against? And the answer is, well, of course he sinned against Uriah and Bathsheba and the nation of Israel and Job, who murdered a bunch of Israelites, and there was over 30 that died that day because he wanted Uriah dead. He sinned against all of them, then he sinned against Uriah's parents. Here is David's response that is biblically correct. Against you and you only have I sinned. Who's he speaking to? God. He's saying, my sin against you is so tremendous as I live in your presence that all of the other people I sinned against are irrelevant in comparison. Are you consciously aware of the presence of God? Are you living coram Deo, the big idea of the Christian life? Are you living in intimate fellowship with Him? Oh, brothers and sisters, these verses, if we will make these choices, would change the lives of the people that have gathered and would change our church, and I believe would change our community and would stretch and change our world. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. There's the consequence. So the two choices, trust in all, acknowledge in all, be aware of His presence in all that you do, and then He will straighten, or I've just entitled this, straight through all. Here's His promise to us if we make these choices. He will give us a life that is pure and that will honor Him. I love how one pastor states this. God promises that He will help us to go straight when we acknowledge Him and trust in Him. God promises that He will take our lives and direct us on the straight path if we'll but do these two things, make these two choices. He will help us to choose obedience. He will help us to live holy lives. He will help us to know His will. Again, Romans 12, 1 to 2 just pops into your brain as you read this. Then you will know what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Then you will have straight paths. Here's the choice set before us this morning. Will you choose to trust God and not lean on your own understanding? Will you choose to say, I will acknowledge Him in all of my life and what I watch and where I go and how I work and how I interact with my children or my parents or my girlfriend or my boyfriend or my spouse? I am convinced that about 90% of the pain that those who claim to be Christians go through is because we are not doing this. In fact, I would say this, in the shepherding situations I get in, this ultimately is where people need to begin and stay and build up from here. You want to have a healthy Christian life. This passage, memorize it, live it. Understand it, experience it, and your life will be straight. Your life will be pure. Your life will honor God. So how do we apply this to our lives? Well, I think it's fairly straightforward. Really, we're just going to kind of review the text and challenge our hearts to make the right choices. First, let's be a people who choose to trust. Choose to say, I will walk by faith and not by sight. Choose not to crawl out on the ice, but choose to say, God, You are good. Your commands are good. I will seek to understand them in context. And then Your word will become the light to my path. Your word will become what I experience and understand and live. And I won't reject it with my own understandings. We need to choose like Joseph chose, not like Eve chose. Remember Eve's interaction with the demonic realm? Did God really say? Is God really good? And Eve chooses to trust herself and her own taste sensations. And then Adam, who was with her, chooses her over God, and destruction occurs. Brothers and sisters, will you choose to trust God? Will you choose to say, even when I don't understand, even when it doesn't make sense to me, even when it's confusing and it seems to against the longing in my heart and the ache I have and the loneliness I feel, I will choose to trust. Practically, it means for us living now a choice to trust in the gospel, a choice to say, I will experience the forgiveness that God has given me through Jesus. I will be free. A choice to trust the gospel, saying Christ's love compels me, or 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, I am not my own, I am bought with a price, therefore I will honor God with my body. I'm all in, I'm all His, He's my Savior, my Master, my Lord. Will you choose to trust? So that as you go onto the ice where you're a little unsure, will you crawl or will you run, knowing the Lord who is introduced to us in His word and you know personally. Secondly, and again, it's not profound in terms of implications. We're just repeating where the text took us. This is so easily applicable if we're willing to hear. Will you choose to fellowship or acknowledge, if you want to use the word of Proverbs? I like using the word fellowship because it's a little deeper and there's a good understanding of the Hebrew word. Will you choose to be aware of the presence of God in everyday life? Will you choose to be aware of the presence of God when you fill in your taxes, when you are talking with other people, when you're choosing to live your life, when you're on your computer, when you're on your phone, when you're in the privacy of your own home, when you're I mean, you fill in the blank. Choosing to acknowledge God means that you acknowledge who He is. Choosing to acknowledge God means you acknowledge that He is with you, and therefore you choose things that make Him look good and glorify His name. And oh, this is a struggle. I know this because God tells us in the Bible we need reminders. You read the Old Testament, they would set up rocks and they would put things on their foreheads. And you even read this text, I mean, it's saying, mark these things, bind them around your neck, wear something around your neck that reminds you of the commands of God. Verse 3, write them on the tablet of your heart, memorize, meditate, don't let go. By the way, when we say meditate here, we mean fill your mind with Scripture and then just chew on that Scripture. Repeatedly let it feed into your brain and ask, what does that mean? And how do I live that out? And how does that impact every situation I'm in? That's biblical meditation. It's not emptying your mind. It's filling your mind with Scripture. And we love His Word. And on His Word, Psalm 1, we meditate day and night. So here's the two choices that we're given. Will we choose this day to trust in Him and what that means in terms of full and radical obedience to His Word, even when it doesn't make sense to us and even when our feelings are pushing us somewhere else? Will we choose to acknowledge Him in every decision we make that will help us to avoid sin and will give us courage? By the way, again, you go to the New Testament, this is all over the Bible. I have now on my phone a passage in Joshua, and lo, I'll be with you. We go to Matthew 28, and I'll be with you even to the end of the age. He is with us all of the time. It should cause us to, in fear of Him, fear sin and hate sin. It should cause us in courage to say, I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. And He's with me when I share the gospel. He's with me when I sin. And when I'm aware of His presence, I will share the gospel a lot more than I will sin. Will you choose this morning to trust and lean not on your own understanding? Will you choose this morning? God has given us a will. Will you choose this morning to say, I'm going to find ways in my life to constantly acknowledge the presence of my God. I mean, for me, I do little things. I have the gospel message on my wrist. I know it looks kind of different and I get asked about it all the time, but it's just a simple gospel message. We use the color-coded book, and so you have gold, which is the glory of God, the holiness of God. You have black, which is my own sin, which causes me to fall short of His glory. You have red, which is the blood of Christ, which cleanses me from all sin. You have white, I have been forgiven. I'm free. There's no condemnation. You have green, now I'm going to grow to seek to honor Him in all that I say and do. And then you have gold, I'm going to glory. That's my home. I'm going to live in light of eternity. This is a reminder that I have with me every day. I'm not saying you need this reminder, but I am saying you need some kind of reminder. Because otherwise, like so many in North American Christianity, you will choose to live in light of your own understanding, and then you will choose sin. Here's a challenge for us today. Begin in trust. Live in trust. And in that trust, have an intimate fellowship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Today, Psalm 95, if you have heard His voice, don't harden your heart, but choose to trust and acknowledge. Let's pray.